Now, this is a book, capital F, Prime, beginning October 22nd, 1996, and extending through December of the same year. And in it we begin with continuing the assembly of the IRES, Interval Ribosomal Enterocyte construct that we'd been talking about earlier. Just a straightforward continuation of making DNA plasmids of a desired type, and continuing on for several days. New candidates, for example, on Saturday, November 11th, page 11, and checks on them thereafter. And so it goes. The standard. Except if one comes across comments such as this on Sunday, November 10th, page 16. Wasted 1 month. Mistake! Exclamation mark. Looking back, etc., etc. Quite a common event, a mistake. Back to step three on the following Tuesday, November 12th. And then by November 14th, Thursday, page 25, we're on step six in making this construct. And so on for the next pages. Step 60 is still going on, Thursday, November 21st, page 33, with new candidates the following Friday. That must have been Thursday, November 21st, the following day, Friday, new candidates. Nothing particularly notable. Step 6 going on, step 6A now, November 25th, and November 27th, Thanksgiving Day, and then and Wednesday, November 27th, and Thanksgiving Day, continuing working. Step 8 now. And a fresh start on fragments on Monday, December 2nd, page 51. And designing linkers on Friday, December 6th, etc. Nothing particularly remarkable, just bang, bang, bang. Christmas Day, Wednesday, December 25th, the usual, still working, page 67, checks on, etc. Was unsuccessful. Now then, here I've got a break, the last entry being Friday, December 27th, page 69, and then up to Monday, January 13th, a break there, writing GM20069, competitive renewal, talking about failure of animals to change blood pressure on a genetic variation of ACE, can be modelled in the computer and is due largely in this model to an increase in angiotensin 1 or a decrease, etc., etc. Not quite the correct interpretation I now know, but a beginning of trying to interpret the results of the genetic experiment by a modelling type of process, which we'll see more of. As it says, a long gap to write the grant renewal, work on a computer model, a rebuttal, presumably of something to do with the grant, and several papers. Attempting here Monday, August 18th, 1997, to record the computer work and get back to the bench. So here's a gap from January 13th to August 18th, one of the longest gaps that I have in experimental work, which was devoted to developing computer simulations of the behavior of the renin angiotensin system. And I'll go over it in a little detail in discussing the following pages that are an abstract of what went on at that time, starting on page 73 with the heading Computer Modeling Chronology with August 1997 comments. So as we've seen earlier, that August 22nd, 1996, I sent a letter to Marshall Edgell outlining requirements initially aimed at reproducing what I called a path diagram for the angiotensinogen 1-0 copy and ACE 1-0 copy animals. This type of diagram is illustrated in the letter to Marshall. First of all, which is attached on page 72, the most critical part is actually a diagram of the renin angiotensin system sketched by me, which starts with angiotensinogen AGT and the renin genes at REN1 and REN2, and ACE gene and angiotensin receptor genes and so on. In fact, that was a diagram that I wrote, that I drew to make sure that I understood what was happening. But it turned out to be quite important, because Marshall then tried to model that diagram in a computer simulation using programs that were available online for making simulations. This was a type of program that was available from a company somewhere in New Hampshire, in Maine. The program was stellar, but before I go into that, I have to also look at the second diagram that I sent to Marshall, which is what I call the renin angiotensin system path diagram. And I've been reading Richard Feynman's work with virtual particles, you might say, and so this is in a way as a sort of path diagram trying to represent what happens to the level of different components in the renin angiotensin system. So, for example, the solid black squares represent measurements that we have made already and that we know are correct. The white squares are what I think would be the level of the a specific component if I could measure it. Engine one, engine head two, and compound of the receptor and the ligand, etc. So I have what's called path direction. And this is a flow or path diagram for a heterozygous plus minus angiotensinogen gene disruption. All vertical scales are logarithmic relative to normal. So quarter X, half X, 1X, 2X. And it shows that if you have 1X of angiotensinogen, you have and then you have a copy of 2X, that the renin level goes up. In fact, it's not correct. The renin level actually goes down, but this was the type of diagram made. So the squares are hypothesized, and the solids, open squares, and the solid ones are known. And this is what I gave to Marshall. And then we shall see what Marshall sent. That is on page 73 on September 1st, 1996. Marshall sent an initial model and equations and then instructions on how to use this stellar program. In this model, angiotensin 1 was called AGT1 and angiotensin 2 was called AGT, Roman 2. ACE was specified as an amount of protein, and there were the initial equations. In fact, the program did not run correctly, as it might be expected, but it was the basis of what eventually did work, because if you look at the stellar diagram there, it's almost a mirror of the pathways that I'd shown in the first of my diagrams to Marshall. But it goes on and explains the difficulties in the following pages, which are not worth going over in detail, except to say a few things. At one stage I began to realize that the steps were taking place depended upon the concentration of either a substrate or a product, and so there's a little note on page 74 that a couple of lines are really quite critical in making the system work. And I also began to realize a very important thing for later experiment, and that is that if you try to vary the amount of a protein, for example, this could be done by varying transcription, the rate of transcription of the gene, of the corresponding gene, but that's rather difficult since one doesn't know how to alter promoters in a predictable way to increase their efficiency. But I realized that the other thing you could do is alter the rate of degradation of the message, not the amount, not the rate of production, but the rate of degradation. So halving the rate of degradation would double the level of message, just as would doubling the efficiency of the promoter. And this is an important thing because it led later to a whole series of experiments which continue right to the present day, in which we varied the level of effective level of a gene by altering the stability of the message, and that can be done by changing the 3' untranslated region. But anyway, this system, this modelling was difficult because it very rarely gave anything meaningful. That's to say, when one ran the program, it would come so that either it would come to equilibrium when either the substrate had gone to zero or something of the same sort, and it never seemed to produce anything valuable. And then John Hagelman ran for me a series of simulations in which we changed the level of ACE. This was October 15th, 1996, and began to realize that one could find conditions where the final outcome of the simulation was a steady state. So that on the note on page 77, about halfway down, it's 10.24.9, looking at renin protein concentration, shows steady state can be reached just by production equals inactivation. You get to a steady state when the amount of something produced and the amount of it being degraded is equal to the amount of it being degraded. But where that steady state is what you're trying to calculate. And so on it goes on, and having to think about what's happening to the concentrations with the Michaelis-Menten equation on page 78. And so go page after page of a whole series of calculations made with this model on page 81. And the model is beginning to look more stable on page 880 with the program and so on. And continuing page 83, more notes on what was happening. A rather complex series of tests. They were really rather painful. I didn't very much enjoy them, actually, and they lasted nearly 6 months, and I have a drawer full of the programs that were used day after day after day with little changes to try to understand everything. For example, on 4/16, April 16th, 1997, it says a series of graphs summarizing the effects of the above variable. The data were reworked in various ways to try to superimpose the curve, etc., etc. The conclusion, the renin direct effect is by far the largest on the blood pressure, tenfold effect at least, and angiotensinogen has about a threefold effect, and the overall conclusion being need to measure these various substances reaching what I called a standard model, which was published a preliminary account based on angiotensin 1, angiotensin 2, with the February 6th standard model. I think the overall conclusion of this was that these simulations were very valuable because they made you think about all of the variables, and I learned a great deal in making them, and a whole series of experiments and lasting a long time came out of them. But the bottom of page 85, 5/20/97, shows what happens with the angiotensin and angiotensinogen gene copy number varying. That both angiotensin 1 and angiotensin 2 increase, but that ACE gene copy number that means that the blood pressure increased with copy number of angiotensinogen. But the second diagram shows that ACE gene copy number doesn't alter angiotensin 2 levels very much, so blood pressure doesn't change, but the substrate changes enormously. Angiotensin 1 levels change, and summarizes that by conversion and inactivation, etc., on the following diagram. And that's the end of these simulations, and back to experiments again on August 26, Tuesday, page 87, with a review of the angiotensin receptor 1A coding region duplication construct, and showing what the total construct should look like, getting back into the step, and designing PCR screens for the duplication on Wednesday, August 27, page 89. Back to experiment. Nothing very remarkable about the experiments, just continuing in the usual way to make these different constructs. Sequencing it was now getting possible easily to get DNA sequencing done. So page 101, Wednesday, September 10th, shows a whole bunch of sequencing results on DUPCOD ATR, duplication of the coding region of angiotensin receptor. Quite a reasonable sequence, and the interpretation of the data on the opposite page. More sequence data on page 103, Friday, September 12, with different primers. Just straightforward slogging away. And now on Wednesday, October 15th, at page 121, screening for angiotensin receptor 1A duplication are positive. Rather disappointing conclusion. A new project start on page 125, Friday, October 17, aim to give an advantage to targeted ESL in repopulating germ cells after blastocyst injection. The idea being to overexpress the receptor for c-kit, which is a growth factor for bone marrow cells and germ cells. Overexpressed c-kit, the receptor in primordial germ cells derived from ES cells. So the thought that one might be able to get germ cells to proliferate more. So I requested c-kit cDNA from Alan Bernstein. Received today the relevant plasmids. Usual business of repeating work, Thursday, October 23rd, page 127, one more ABI. Can't bear to abandon the duplication of the angiotensin receptor, exclamation mark. So going back to it. And a tissue non-specific alkaline phosphatase being considered on page 129. Tina. Scene kit replacing TNAP. What I was trying to do was to put the C kit into the tissue non-specific alkaline phosphatase gene, and so have C kit made where normally alkaline phosphatase was made in the germline cell. So page 130 shows the rationale. A C-kit exchange with TNAP. Grant McGregor had made a targeting construct that depends on one that TNAP promoter, the tissue non-specific alkaline phosphatase promoter, is active in ES cell. Etc. So using some properties of that gene to control the production of C-kit. And then the necessary slogging away to make the construct. For example, PCR of C-kit stop. Sac 1 on Monday, November 24th, page 143. Mistaken product, but it was a good PCR. The usual thing that sometimes you get a pretty result, but you get the wrong answer. Conclusion, the same as 1, which is that it was a good PCR, but not the right thing. And saved again for a rainy day, page 142. Fresh start on PCR of C-kit stop, Friday, November 28th. Keeping going in the same way. So December is approaching. Still working at the same problem. And the book ends with a design, Saturday, December 13th, design of a blue PCR, of blue PCR primers for the T, I've got T-PAP, but I really mean T-NAP, C-kit fusion. Product. So ends this book on December 13th, 1996, book F prime.